But thank you so much for having us. We're very excited to be here, very excited actually about the friendship that developed over the last 2 years, because you do know Corinne for a long time, but we just actually met about 2.5 years ago. Right. And it's been so interesting that our path has been crossing planned meetings or sometimes unplanned. You guys just show up. It's like, okay, here are the Heises again. There you go. Let's hang out. And just really appreciated of your friendship and what God's been, just also stirring in our hearts for what we see happening in the future. And just briefly, since you mentioned something about land, and this is not my message, but it just came to me, land is mega, ultra important in our lives, more than we probably realize. I just want to give you one thing to think about. You are formed out of the substance of the earth, our bodies. So, you know, we respond automatically, if we want to or not, if we think about it or not, we respond to the land around us because we're made from that substance. I just leave it with that, okay? Because Corinne would know much more about land and stuff. And, you know, God has been taking us on a journey with land where we are in New Jersey. So like I said, I'm Swiss. So I know that it's America first, and I'm totally with that. Believe me, I am. But as long as the Swiss can be second, we're cool with that. Okay? And before I start, I really urge you to pray for our president. Really. I mean, we're supposed to, whatever your opinion is, that's not even the point. We're supposed to pray. And he needs prayer. And I'm excited about what's happening in America right now. So I'll leave it with that. So I heard that actually God took you guys to heaven just the other day. So they were in Switzerland, obviously. So that's really, as a Swiss, I had to say that. We love mountains. We love chocolate. We love watches. Chocolate? Yeah. Yeah. Here in America, I don't know what it is with you guys. It's always Belgian chocolate. It's like, what the heck is Belgian what? I mean, for me, it's only Swiss chocolate, you know. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. I want to talk to you about something today that we find in Psalm 91. And I just want to, right now, just relax. You don't need to read it yourself. I read it for you. I do that. I can. And it's from the Message translation, so some might not be as used to it or not. But just listen first. Psalm 91. You can close your eyes if you want, whatever you feel comfortable with. Just let this, you know, get into your spirit. You who sit down in the high God's presence, spent the night in Shaddai's shadow. Say this, God, you're my refuge. I trust in you and I'm safe. That's right. He rescues you from hidden traps, shields you from deadly hazards. His huge outstretched arms protect you. Under them, you're perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. Fear nothing. Not wild wolves in the night, nor flying arrows in the day, not disease that prowls through the darkness, not disaster that erupts at high noon. Even though others succumb all around, drop like flies right and left, no harm will even graze you. You'll stand untouched, watch it all from a distance. Watch the wicked turn into corpses. Yes, because God's your refuge, the high God, your very own home. Evil can't get close to you. Harm can't get through the door. He ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. You'll walk unharmed among lions and snakes and kick young lions and serpents from the path. If you hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care. If you only get to know and trust me, and that's the key. If you only get to know and trust me, call me and I'll answer. Be at your side at bad times. I'll rescue you, then throw you a party. I'll give you a long life, give you a long drink of salvation. All right, that's it, Corinne. I will share a few thoughts about this psalm, and it's an amazing psalm. The cool thing about this is that God promises us His help and His presence, meaning He promises us to be with us in whatever circumstances we find ourselves and we walk through. So in other words, I want to encourage you to this morning, it's quite normal if life finds you in a place described in Psalm 91. There's nothing wrong with you. Sometimes we think, what the heck did I do to deserve whatever is happening in my life right now? Because it's tough, right? Not just me. Okay, thank you. I think at times, you know, it's really life is challenging. It's not just all, you know, full of strawberries or I don't know what, you know. It's tough at times, And the cool thing is that God is promising us that He will be with us in any circumstances and times we go through. So if hell breaks loose around you, you're in good company. I heard that. Thank you. Amen. That I heard. He said He will walk us through this. And a question that came to me reading this is, how do we find that safe place, that peace? You know, it's more than just a place. It's a place of peace, a habitation where you find a secret place with God. Whatever happens around you, you find that peace. And that's not easy, but it's there. Because He promises us that it's there. Amen. So first of all, I want to make a statement. I already touched on it. Life is not easy. It's full of challenges. And if we believe otherwise, we believe a lie. Yes. It's simply that true. The Bible is full of amazing promises. And Jesus gives us wonderful promises about salvation, about restoration, healing, you know, all that stuff. And He actually promises us in John 10:10. That He came to give us life and life more abundantly. For me, my take on this is that He means the whole spectrum of life. He doesn't mean just like everything is rosy and dandy. He means you will face life and you will face the good, the bad, and the ugly. Everything is included in the life that God is giving us. And He also clearly states that in this life we will have trials and tribulations. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. That's John 16:33. Christ suffered for us and left us an example to follow His footsteps and His glory. That's in 1 Peter 2:21. So we will have challenges and hardship whether we like it or not. Period. But nowadays, nobody wants to hear about that. Nobody wants to hear about suffering and pain or stepping back, waiting, you know, take a back seat. The mainstream message of our society sounds quite different. We want the easy way out. We want a silver bullet. We want a formula. You know the formulas, the 5 steps to the 12 points to the 9 ways of whatever. And what people don't understand, some of those things are great. They really are. Because people who went through something in their lives to actually found maybe a formula or found some steps that helped them. But what they don't consider is that you're in a different place than me. And you can't do this for me. Nobody can do that for you. You have to go through it yourself. Man, you guys seem excited. I can tell by looking at you because I can't hear you. But anyway. So, again, with our society also, something that I realized is we want quick fixes. Yeah, right. And we want somebody to do it for us, right? Or pay somebody. You do it. You take care of it. No, it's not how it works. And we want stuff immediate. We want immediate results. We don't want to wait. And I don't know if you ever had a prayer like this on your heart, from the bottom of your heart, where it's like, Lord, please give me patience. Now. Now. Okay, so what I'm trying to say with this is nothing is handed to us on a silver platter. Nothing. It needs work and it needs hard work. And then, I mean physical labor. You know, I don't mean a slave mentality. We just have to slave for everything. I just mean there's effort that you need to put in it in order to get a result. And at times, even as Christians, we think God is just going to do everything for us. No. If we look at the Word of God at the very beginning, God created the Garden of Eden and in all its beauty, right? And He gave us a commission. He gave Adam and Eve a commission. He said, you tend it. You build. You extend it. In other words, you work. This is your commission. It's your job. You know, I give you all of this. It's all in there. I was just the other day, I was reading some stuff about, that's completely off the topic, about CERN and stuff that they do, because my brother-in-law works there. And CERN is a research facility that creates little black holes, probably even bigger black holes. Some of the stuff you don't even want to know what they create. But, you know, it's amazing. Of all, it's the biggest machine in the world that's built together by people of what they tried to do and accomplish. And it's just fascinating that, think of human history, 6,000 years, whatever. All that stuff that they do now was always here. It was just not accessible. It was just not possible. You know, the knowledge was not there. The material was not there. And now we're in a place where things take form so fast. You know, with think about 100 years ago, people were riding around in carts and horses. And now we go in super high air jets, you know, or planes and all that stuff. We go to the moon. Next thing is Mars. It's amazing all the stuff that's possible to do if we have the knowledge in order to pursue it and work it. So, Jesus worked the job. We'll go back to the topic, right? That was just a side note. He was a carpenter first for 30 years. Nothing big happening probably in his life. He was just doing a carpenter's work. You don't hear much about it. Peter was a fisherman. Paul was a tent maker. So, the monks, and I love that because you guys just, we talked about Ireland. And the Irish monks brought the gospel across of Europe. Those guys did. They brought the gospel to Switzerland. And they lived under a motto called Ora e Labora, which means to pray and work. It's both. You know, sometimes we have the tendency, we just, you know, people have think about ministry. I don't know. It's like, this is all great, man. We just pray all day. This is ministry work. It's like, okay, I don't know where you're from, you know, but when I went to Bible college, they said ministry is spelled out W-O-R-K. And maybe that's the other extreme, right? So you need to find the middle of prayer and working, you know, in order to hear from heaven and then put it into this atmosphere called everyday life. So you need the right balance. Let's jump that. Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna, let's talk about this. Because, you know, who has kids here? You love your kids, right? There's things, you know, we all desire for our kids to have a better life in some point, if we can make that possible for them. With all that said, though, at the same time, I realize there are certain things I cannot do for my kids. They have to find out themselves. I can guide them. I can, you know, help, but we can, whatever we can do. But then at the end of the day, they need to walk it out. They need to make certain experiences, good and bad. And that's the same way I feel our Heavenly Father is dealing with us. You know, He lets us actually purposely walk through difficulties. I know we don't like to hear this. Maybe you never heard that. Hey, here you go. But He does. And the reason for this is because there's transformation that needs to take place. There's things inside of us, like stuff in the earth that we didn't know about. There's stuff inside of us that need to come out and come to the surface. And one way that this stuff can come out is through pressure, is through hardship, is through things that are not easy. Why do I know this? It says in Romans 5:3-5, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Who has ever rejoiced in the suffering? Honestly. All right, thank you. That's a tough one, man. I mean, I'm seriously, I never experienced this much pain in my life with what I just had with my ears. The pressure, it was like somebody puts two knives, you know, from both sides in your ears. And I'm not trying to say this for your sympathy. I'm just saying, what the heck, man? You know, and none of the painkillers worked, none. Till I finally went to a specialist and he knew what to do. I was so grateful, you know. But, you know, there's stuff that happens in our lives that suffering brings that are not pleasant. And it says here, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character seems to be more important to Him than anything that the world tried to throw at us at the statement of making it in life. Because we want shortcuts. You know, like you just need to make it to the top of the ladder as fast as possible, be as cruel as possible, and elbow your way there. That's not how it works. God has a whole different concept about time. Just think about it. You know, He said, hey, I come back in a couple of days, in a few days. It's like, gee, it's been like 2000 or something. You have a problem with time, God? It's like, whoa, whoa. We're talking about a being. Let's call God a being for that, you know, that lives outside of the time dimension that we know. So for him, one day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. So he's not delayed. He knows what he's doing. So we are in good company because of any character in the Bible had to walk through exactly all that stuff. There's no exceptions. Study those heroes of yours. They all went through stuff, hardship, suffering, things. Not all the time, hopefully, you know, but it produced something in them that brought something out of them. So just think about Jesus entered every human, it says every detail of human life. He experienced it all himself, all the pain, all the testing. And would be able to help where help was needed. That's what it talks about in Hebrews 2:16-18. So this is one of the most powerful promises. Think about it. And realities. Jesus experienced himself challenges. You know, it's not like you guys do it. He went through it. He went through it himself first. The hardships, the pain, the sweat, the blood. And he never promises us an easy way out. He never does. Just forget that. But he said, I'm with you. I'm with you through this. Through all my pain that I just experienced, I knew God was with me. I didn't like it. Are you crazy? I don't like to have go pain and stuff. But he was with me through this. And this is what he, you know, the cool thing about God, I think, is he's not off somewhere. You know, some deity sitting somewhere in the clouds, whatever, that we worship. He's right there. He's the God that is right in the dirt with us, right in the pain, where it gets ugly, where it gets sweaty, where it's unpleasant. And one more thought. Don't just look to the goal, but the roads or the journey itself. So here, I don't know how you function. Go on a trip, I want to get there as fast as possible. With the least resistance, right? That's me. Maybe you're different. And I'm learning now that actually the goal is one thing, and that's good. We need to have a goal. But the journey itself is as important. You know, for me, the journey seems a necessity to get to the destiny. But he uses the journey itself to change, transform, and shape and make me into what I need to be when I get there. Think about any Lord of the Ring fans in here. It's okay. You can out yourself. And even The Hobbit. It's a small book and 3 movies. I love it. They could have done 10. That's just my take. So think about Frodo and Sam. Their journey, right? So he gets a task or a mission. Just throw this ring into the fire, right? That's what he thinks. And then all the stuff that's evolving in the story of what they faced and went through completely transformed and changed them. I mean, let's take Sam, you know, because he comes out actually pretty okay. Frodo is kind of, anyway. So, but you know, it's the journey itself that is as important and not just the destiny. There's how it is here in America, in Europe, there's a resurface of pilgrimage over the last 10 years. A lot of people take time to go pilgrim. You know, there's there's a big place, San Compostolo di Santiago di Compostola, whatever, you know, in Portugal. In Spain. They got one in Spain too. They go through Spain into Portugal. Yeah. And there, you know, there's Israel, there's Rome, all these places. And you know, they have a saying as the pilgrims that the road is the goal. It's not just getting to the destiny, it's the road itself where stuff is happening and shaping and transforming me. So I'm learning in this process over the last 2.5 years since we've been to America to actually slow down and enjoy the journey more. And that's not easy for me. Because, you know, if I don't slow down, if we don't slow down, we miss what's right in front of us. We miss the secret things that God wants to reveal to us because we're speeding. I mean, I used to be a speeder. Then I got a big fine and I'm learning my lesson now. But I had to appear in front of the judge here in America. Not a funny thing. I was like, yes, sir. Yes, no, it was bad. Yes, it was me. I'm guilty. So we need to learn to seize the day. Carpe diem, you know, it's a Latin thing. We need to really find those secret places and not rush by them. Focus on what's important, not what's urgent. And here in Psalm 37 is a great quote. Quiet down before God. Be prayerful before Him. Don't bother with those who climb the ladder, who elbow their way to the top. Bridle your anger. Thrash your wrath. Excuse me. Cool your pipes. It only makes things work. So I'm learning to face and embrace the process. I work at Trader Joe's next to what we do. And we have a guy, his name is Mad Dog Sean. And, you know, he's a farmer. And he actually, like, we have the box, which is a freezer. It's freaking cold in there, I'm telling you. The guy goes in there with his T-shirt. He goes outside during, you know, those temperatures in his T-shirt to do a cart run. And I talked to him. It's like, Sean, man, what's the matter with you? I know now why they call you Mad Dog Sean. But no, I mean, like, the thing is, like, you just need to embrace it, man. That's all he said. Just embrace it. Embrace the cold. Embrace whatever. I'm like, that's a good message. I need to learn this, to embrace those things rather than to fight it, you know? Why do we... Anyway. So, you know, I need to learn to be more patient and not get frustrated or angry, as we just read. Because it takes longer than I thought. I don't know. Who has been on a journey and it takes you much longer than you thought it would be, right? That's frustrating. So here's an example for you. There's two guys, Joshua and Caleb. They went to the promised land, spy it out, then actually did the right thing. They stood up, you know, when they had the debate, and then they actually wanted to kill those. The other 10 told the other, like the crowd, to kill those two, and they still had to walk for 40 years with all those guys that wanted to kill them through the wilderness. Yay. Backwards, say it. Yay. There you go. And just think about the process they had to go through physically, mentally, of like, what the heck's going on, man? We did the right thing. We saw it. We can do it. And now we're in the desert for 40 years because of all these schmucks. No, come on. And so that causes some change in your life, right? So the last few thoughts, and then I hand it over to Corrine. Is she still with me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm also learning to celebrate life in these challenging or painful moments and refuse to be robbed from those things that are actually precious in that moment. While things might be hard, we can still celebrate what is good. Yeah, we do different things at the barn. And one thing we celebrate is the water breaking. my wife, I just had to share it. Yeah, when we had our first kid, we went to a restaurant the day before, and the water broke in that pizzeria. And you know, it was a movie moment. It's like, my water just broke. And like, check please, and I have to rush to the hospital. And people cheering. It's like, do you still need to pay? Yes, it's Switzerland. You still have to pay. Okay, so we did. So every year, we celebrate that event before the birthday of our daughter, and we invite our friends and do it. So the last time we did it at the barn was awesome, with people from Trader Joe's coming and stuff. And so, you know, and a person, a friend of ours that missed the event, wrote later on, because we post a lot of stuff on Facebook or make little vlogs, like videos. And she said, I love the way you celebrate life. I was like, yes, I want to be a celebrator of life. In spite of all the stuff that is happening, that's hard to do that. And actually, in Psalm 91, it says that God throws us a party. In all of this, it's not like after everything is done, and then, you know, we'll throw you a party because you passed. Even through it, even in it, in the midst of it. So, this whole thing is an issue of trust. God is more interested in what we will become, who He envisioned us to be, than we can ever do. In Christianity, this whole, because I did a lot of youth work and internships, and it's so many people, and I love the fact that they are interested or in finding out what does God want for my life, you know, calling, destiny, but it's overrated. Because some of those people spend so much time on trying to find out what God wants them to do that they miss life completely. It's like, just live, man. Yeah. Just live. And as you go along, those things will manifest. Those things will come. Because God's more interested to bring you there and to bring out those things and to make you in who you're supposed to be than you can ever do. So just relax. So I think the key of finding peace during this journey, as we're looking in Psalm 91, is in Psalm 91:15. If you only get to know and trust me, if you only get to know and trust me, I've been learning that intensively over the last 2.5 years. You know, trust to a degree where it hurts. You know, where it's this aspect. I give you my life, really. Comes into a different dimension, not just the pieces of my life I want to give you, not those things I want to throw at you, but actually totally surrender. That's what you meant, not what I understood, but it's what you meant. So God knows about our lives, about our challenges and struggles, and he promises to be with us, protect us, deliver us, transform us, and make us even overcomers. So for the last scripture here, the Father is with me. This is Jesus talking in John 16:33. The Father is with me. I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. Amen. I think you didn't get that because I can't tell. You have not responded to that. So I will say it again. The Father is with me. Again, his presence is with me. I've told you all this so that trusting me, you'll be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. Amen. But take heart, I've conquered the world. John 16:33. Thank you.